This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Om Saram to our listeners. Welcome to Saturday News number
1012.
And today we'll be replaying a program that was done in Prasanthi Saturday News on the topic of Easter. I understand the what we'll be hearing is based on an article written by Father Charles Oganda in Prasanthi some years ago. So before we get into the actual program, I am Gulab Limoria, and I offer my most loving and humble pranams at the Lord's feet of Blivar Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. So once again, welcome to Saturday News. Let's have a Ganesh Bhajan and then we'll hear the program.
Vinayaka Vigneshwara, Lord Ganapati, victory to thee.
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 Vinayaka Vigneshwara, Ganapati, Lord, auspiciousness is thee.
Vinayaka Vigneshwara, Ganapati, Lord, auspiciousness is thee.
Vinayaka Vigneshwara, Lord, Ganapati, victory to thee.
Vinayaka Vigneshwara, Lord, Ganapati, victory to thee.
Son of Shiva, Om Hara Om.
Son of Shiva, Om Hara Om.
Oh, son of Parvati, Om Hara Om.
Oh, son of Parvati, Om Hara Om.
You are the form of all Hara Om.
Sairam, dear listeners, Easter greetings from Radio Sai in Prashanti Nilayam. This is a time for spiritual renewal. Today's program celebrates the spirit behind this sacred season of Easter. It is based on a compelling and powerful cover story by Reverend Father Charles Ogada, which was published in Heart to Heart radio-sized e-journal in its April 2006 issue. This program will present you a dramatic portrayal of the events at Easter 2000 years ago, and then relate the meaning of Easter to our own spiritual journey in a manner you would have never imagined or envisaged before. So, dear listeners, wish you a happy and holy Easter, and now please stay with us.
Easter is a festival of enlightenment. It is the day that Jesus rose from seeming death. It was on a Sunday morning, the day of the sun god. Mary Magdalene and other women had gone to look at the tomb where Jesus was laid. But to their horror and bewilderment, they met an empty tomb. Beside the tomb stood two angels who said to them,
"Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Yes, he has risen."
This was a great turning point that transformed the story of Jesus, which seemed to have ended with his tragic death on the cross on Friday evening.
So the story of Easter is not just the story of Jesus' resurrection from death, but also the story of how he was unjustly arrested by certain leaders of the Jews, tried, condemned, and crucified on the cross on account of the stand for truth and righteousness. From a spiritual perspective, Easter is the story of humanity's ascent to divinity. It is the dramatic spiritual journey that everyone must undertake to emancipate oneself from the bondage of death and ignorance, and to enter into the glorious light of immortality and self-knowledge. In this way, Easter is not just a past event, but the day we are born again into enlightenment.
Jesus went with his disciples to the synagogue of Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. It was an important feast, celebrated annually in commemoration of the Jews' deliverance from slavery in Egypt. All males older than 12 went to Jerusalem for the holidays. As Jesus entered the city riding on a donkey, pilgrims spread cloths and branches on the road for him. They shouted in giant jubilation, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." This praise stands in sharp contrast to their later cry, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" and their option for a thief and a murderer to be released in the place of the righteous one. Jesus remained the same in both praise and blame.
When Jesus entered the temple of Jerusalem, he saw people sacrificing doves and other animals to God in order to please him. The temple priests had become very corrupt and money-centered. The house of God had been turned into a bazaar, and religion had been commercialized. Jesus sought to put an end to these cruel and harmful practices, so Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling, and this angered the priests and the temple authorities, and from then on they looked for a way to kill him.
The Jewish feast of Passover has its focal point on a special meal. Jesus had this meal, which was his Last Supper, with his close disciples before his death. Jesus alone knew the significance of this last evening. So he sat closely with his disciples around a table and showered upon them the very essence of his love. In a very dramatic and direct manner, he gave them the essence of all he had been teaching them. While they were at the table, he took bread. He gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." He also took a cup with some wine and did the same, saying, "This is my blood." When Jesus said, "This is my body," he was teaching the disciples the truth of the Bible and of all the scriptures.
I am not this body. I do not identify myself with the body. Deham, naham, koham, soham. I am not the body. Who am I? I am that. Because I am not the body, I break it and give it up for you. In the same way, you should do the same in my memory. You should give up body consciousness. This is a divine command.
When we say, "This is my cloth," it means I am not the cloth. When I am not the cloth, then I can sacrifice it for the good of others. If the body is my thing, just as cloth is my thing, then I cannot say I am the body, just as I cannot say I am the cloth. This is the lesson that Swami often teaches us now, and what Jesus taught then. As long as one thinks I am the body, sacrifice is not possible. Without sacrifice, it is impossible to attain the absolute divinity. We should see ourselves not as the body, but as the indwelling divinity residing in the temple of the body. Again, we should recognize and treat all bodies as embodiments of divinity. In the words of beloved Satya Sai Baba,
when Jesus said that the bread was his flesh and the wine his blood, he meant that all beings alive with flesh and blood are to be treated as he himself.
Earlier in his teachings, Jesus had told his disciples that whatsoever you do in any of these, you do to me. Seeing the same God in all beings is the true spirit of non-dualism. This Advaitic truth is contained in two verses in the Bible. I am that I am, and be still and know that I am. It is in the stillness that we know that, which is our true nature, the eternal, infinite, immortal, and absolute pure existence, dwelling in all beings. This stillness is the silence of the grave. It is the death not of the physical body, but of the mind. It is the total annihilation of the ego on the cross of self-sacrifice.
After they had finished eating, Jesus dramatized to his disciples how to sacrifice the body by giving up body identification. To sacrifice the body does not mean to hang by one's throat on a rope, as Judas did after he betrayed Jesus. To sacrifice the body means to burn out the body in the altar of selfless service. To prove this, Jesus took a bowl of water and a towel from around his waist and started washing the feet of his disciples and wiping them with the towel. When they asked him why he was doing so, Jesus answered,
"I am washing your feet as your servant, so that you may learn to serve the world."
In selfless service, we sacrifice our desires, our prosperity, our comforts, our safety, and our positions and the demands of the flesh for alleviating the human misery and suffering of the helpless and the poor. In essence, Jesus was teaching that selfless service is the easiest and most effective way of going beyond body consciousness and arriving at the absolute divinity.
From the upper room where he had his last supper with his disciples, Jesus went straight to the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples. In this place he prayed to his Father with intense agony. His sweat was like drops of blood. He prayed to the Father,
"Father, everything is possible for you. So please, Father, please take this cup of suffering away from me."
At the same time, he submitted to the will of his Father.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mother chosen one bring many sons to glory.
Usually, we pass through this stage of rejection in our spiritual journey. This corresponds to Arjuna's despondency before the battlefield of Kurukshetra. At this level, we ask the same questions. Why me? What have I done to merit this situation? Take this suffering away from me, etc. Many people never go beyond this level. Normally, what is rejected comes back. It is like suppressed anger or emotion. It usually manifests in a different and sometimes more dangerous form. Jesus is teaching us here that we should go beyond rejection and accept as God's will everything that happens to us on our path to truth.
Acceptance ushers in a process of transformation and purification. This is the level where we accept with joy everything that happens to us as the will of God, and therefore ultimately bound to work out for our highest good. Jesus went through this stage when he prayed,
"I want your will to be done, not mine."
When we accept our life as an expression of God's will, sufferings begin to have a refining effect on our souls. The external push and buffeting of karma now pulls us inwards and draws us closer to the warmth and love of our inner Christ consciousness. While Jesus was praying, he invited his disciples to keep watch and pray with him. But the fatigue and weariness of the body did not allow them to fulfill this, they were heavy with sleep. Jesus chided them for this behavior.
Meanwhile, the leading priests and leaders were meeting at the residence of Caiaphas, the high priest, to discuss how to capture Jesus and secretly put him to death. They tempted Judas, one of Jesus' beloved disciples, with 30 pieces of silver to betray him into their hands. Judas succumbed to this temptation and betrayed his master. Greed for money is a monster that gets hold of man and makes him lose all sense of discrimination and accept without compunction wrongful ways of satisfying it. Whenever we opt for falsehood in the place of truth, we betray Jesus again and again. As Jesus was leaving the garden, Judas appeared with a crowd armed with swords and clubs sent by the chief priests and elders to arrest Jesus. Jesus addressed his betrayer as friend and offered no resistance when he was arrested. When this happened, all of his disciples deserted him and fled. How many times we desert God when the road gets tough? True worship lies in standing with God in both pain and pleasure and accepting both with equal mindedness.
Following his arrest in Gethsemane, Jesus was first brought before the former high priest, Annas, who conducted a preliminary examination by questioning Jesus about his disciples and teaching. He was then taken to the palace of Caiaphas, the president of the Sanhedrin, the highest Jewish tribunal during the Greek and Roman periods. Because of the contradicting testimonies brought against Jesus, Caiaphas brushed these aside and put Jesus under oath to tell the court if he was the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus' positive affirmation to this question made Caiaphas tear his robe and charge Jesus with blasphemy. When this happened, the storm was let loose. The guards began to spit in his face and strike him with their fists. After blindfolding him, they slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Christ, who hit you?" In all this, Jesus remained calm and silent.
Since the Romans had removed from the Sanhedrin the power of capital punishment, it became necessary to secure a death sentence from the governor. They stirred up the common people to call for Jesus' death. They told Pilate, the fifth Roman governor of Judea, that Jesus was attempting to make himself king, and so he should be punished for treason. When Jesus explained to Pilate the nature of his kingdom, saying,
"My kingdom is not of this world,"
Pilate announced a verdict of acquittal. This verdict could have ended the trial, but it only evoked storms of bitter charges against Jesus by the instigations of the priest. They wanted Jesus dead by all means.
Pilate reviewed the case before the people, wanting to prove the innocence of Jesus. He offered them a compromise in an effort to appease their rage and thirst for blood. He sent Jesus to be scourged before releasing him. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and ridiculed him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they struck him in the face. After this torture, Jesus was in a pathetic condition.
Well, we have come to the end of today's program, and next week we'll be hearing part two of this program on the topic of Easter. So we'll see you next week. In the meantime, I'll leave you with a nice bhajan. Saram to you all.
Master of light, you burn brightly within me. Illuminate my way home. Master of light,
you burn brightly within me. Illuminate my way home. Oh, Sai Baba, you burn brightly within me. Illuminate my way home. Oh, Sai Baba, you burn brightly within me. Illuminate my way home. Oh, sweet Jesus, you burn brightly within me. Illuminate my way home. Oh, sweet Jesus, you burn brightly within me. Illuminate my way home. Oh, Divine Mother, you burn brightly within me. Illuminate my way home. Oh, Divine Mother, you burn brightly within me. Illuminate way home. Oh, Lord Buddha, you burn brightly within me. Illuminate my way home. Oh, Lord Buddha, you burn brightly within me. Illuminate my way home. Oh, Mother Lakshmi, you burn brightly within me. Illuminate my way home. Oh, Mother Lakshmi, you burn brightly within me.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.